Hi, and welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. I'm thrilled that you are listening. This is a podcast where I talk about health and wellness and biohacking. And I swear one of these days I will get an official intro, but I don't know if that will ever happen. If you've been a longtime listener, I actually had an official intro for quite a while with like music and whatever tacky thing that I said. And I just realized that when I listen to podcasts, I always, always fast forward the intros, even if it's 30 seconds, because most of the time I already know what the podcast is about and I don't need to hear it. So I just completely stopped doing it. I just don't think it's necessary. So if you're new here, you know, welcome. I'm a registered holistic nutritionist specializing in fertility and preconception health and biohacking. And that's kind of the area that I'm in and moving into. This podcast has so many episodes now. I don't even know what number we're at, which is bad. I think we're kind of getting close to 300, maybe, probably 300 in the next couple of months, which is really exciting. If you are on the waiting list for my course, you should have received an email from me today. So I'm releasing a course next Tuesday for the waitlist. It is called Baby Steps, and it is a preconception health course, and it's all about optimizing this time of your life, optimizing your health. And the stats behind this and taking care of yourself before you start trying to conceive are alarming. I didn't really know until I actually had to do all the research for this course how serious of a problem it is and how the rates are really, really increasing for infertility amongst men and women. And so it's been very eye-opening when I've been researching this course. But the course is designed, it's a 7-week course, and you get a new module every week of new content, but you actually get access to the Baby Steps protocol right away. And this is the protocol that I recommend people do for 90 days before they start trying to conceive. And the protocol is a list of 6 different healthy habits to do every day. And I give you all the resources to be able to do that and all the science and all the stats behind it. And so I'm really excited about this. And so if you are on the waiting list for that course, you should have received an email from me today. If you didn't, please send me a message on Instagram or email me at info@biohackingbrittany.com and I will send it to you. But I literally emailed every single person. So you should have that. And I told them about the secret bonus. So not only are the people on the waitlist getting $100 off the course, they are also getting a free 30-minute consultation with me, which is wild. Yeah, I just wanted to do it. I think it's just a good idea. And so if you do want to still join that waitlist, I guess, before the course launches Tuesday, April 2nd, you can do that. But you need to message me right now on Instagram at biohackingbrittany if you want to be on that. Because yeah, like it's just kind of closed basically once Tuesday comes. But I really wanted to provide more value and be able to talk to people one-on-one, to hear what their struggles are, to hear where they're coming from, their stories. And so I was like, I'm going to offer free 30-minute consultations with me, so that people can kind of ask me their questions, you know, like, what do I do about this? And like, what do I do if my partner doesn't want to do it? Or how do I make healthier food? Or how do I make time to exercise every day? Like, whatever the questions are, right? I think it's really valuable. So I'm excited about that. And that's a lot of my time. So that's why it's a very limited offer for those people who are on that list. So I'm excited about next week for that. And a shout out to Bioptimizers. They actually did, I talked about this last week, they came out with a new product called Cycle Care, and it's all about regulating your menstrual cycle. And it's got 15 different incredible, incredible Chinese herbs in it that are designed to alleviate PMS symptoms, help regulate your cycle, help with things like fatigue, sleeplessness, mood disorders, mood irregulations, everything like that. And so I'm so happy to see them develop a product specifically for women. And this is what I recommend to those out there who are not trying to conceive, but are cycle syncing, or they are trying to balance their hormones, their menstrual cycle adding in a powerful blend of herbs like this can be very, very helpful for you. So I really recommend that. If you use my discount code BIOHACKINGBRITNEY in capitals, you get as much money off as possible. And I think that is great as well. They also have a fantastic magnesium product, which I love, and a sleep aid and digestive enzymes and probiotics. Those are kind of like the ones that I love from them and always recommend. So definitely check out Bioptimizers. You spell it BIOPTIMIZERS, Bioptimizers. And I will put the link in my show notes and on my website. And I also have my, we're talking about hormones a lot, but I have my guide, which is on my website. So if you are interested in balancing your hormones and regulating your cycle, definitely check out my ebb and flow cycle guide. This is a great resource. It's a great place to start, to be honest, about like kind of learning about holistic healing, what supplements to take during what phases, what exercise to do, all of those types of things. And it's actually 34% off right now. It's such a random number, but it's because it's $10 off. And it's on my website. And that is for a spring sale that I'm doing. So it's now $19 US. Yeah. So definitely check that out. If you're like having cycle issues and you're just trying to balance things out naturally and you want to be a natural girly and do things, biohack your cycle, it's a great way to do it. This podcast episode is all about longevity. It's all about, my gosh, we talk about so much health span. We talk about the ESS60 molecule. And it was a really interesting episode, actually, because, we talked about aging a lot and we talked about how you don't necessarily need to do a lot in order to age well. But the way that we talked about this idea of how do we not spend the last third of our life in decline? And that was really interesting. And Chris Burrs really posed some really good questions to me about, if you plan to live to 100, but you think you're going to be in decline from 80, so your last 20 years, you're going to be in decline. But what if it didn't have to be that way? Like, what if your last 2 years were in decline? Like, it's really interesting when we think about aging and we think about longevity, we still factor in this idea that we will slow down and the body will slowly start to decay over time. And he kind of questions that. So he questions if that needs to happen, how many years that needs to happen for before you pass away, before life is over. And we kind of talk about this idea of how do we extend it? How do we be healthier on a cellular level? So it was really fantastic and we got into a lot of it. We talked about, we talked about like visualizations, affirmations, all sorts of things like that. So enjoy this episode. It's filled with a lot of goodies. I think you're going to get a lot out of it, especially for all of the people out there listening who love longevity and are super, super interested in it. It's such a hot topic right now. The amount of books coming out about longevity is wild. So I think you're going to get a lot out of this episode. And honestly, as always, thank you so much for listening. This podcast is a labor of love, but it's actually one of my favorite aspects of my business. And I don't know why it's one of my favorite aspects. It's a good question. I think it's just because I think I just love being able to connect with people. And there's something more authentic than it sometimes in social media. Maybe that's what it is. And I love hearing your feedback. Oh my gosh, when you guys send me messages and you say like, I love your podcast. I've been listening for this amount of time. I love this episode. When you said this about this, you said this. And I thought that was so interesting. Like when you give me feedback like that, like that's just the best. It's the best. It makes my day. Literally, it smiles. I read every single DM. I do not have any help with social media. It is all me. And I just appreciate you taking the time to do that. So thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Please rate, review the show and continue to listen. And also, I am taking guest suggestions right now as well. So if you have any of those, let me know. Enjoy this, and I will catch you for another episode next week. Welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. Thank you for tuning in to another episode today. Today, we are diving into longevity, and I have none other than Chris Burress joining me, who is a trailblazer in longevity research. He is a published author. We're also going to dive into his book. And he's the brains behind the Uncovering the Secrets to Longevity Health Summit, which has featured many of the people that we know and love in this biohacking space, which we're going to touch on. So he's the force behind MyVitalC and the revolutionary ESS60 molecule. And we're going to talk all about that, extending human life, longevity, health span versus lifespan, all of those good things. So Chris, welcome to the show.
Brittany, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to connect with you and share, I don't know, all the stuff that I've been doing over the last couple of months, which even as I look back at it, feels very daunting. And I know you know that. I think you're in the middle of a rebrand. And so daunting is I don't know, what we eat for breakfast, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, I am. It's a lot of work, but it's exciting. And I love that you are in the longevity space. I was just saying this on my podcast last week. The word longevity in general, and even, I guess, the concept in general, has become so popular in the last 2 years. The amount of books that I've seen and things that have come out about it. What do you think about this, like, sudden huge interest in longevity in general?
Well, I think it's incredibly exciting, right? And then, you know, biohacking Brittany. So, you know, where do biohacking and longevity kind of collide? And I had a really interesting conversation on the summit. I think it was with Natalie Needham, who's so amazing, right? And we started talking about, you know, do you need to biohack for longevity? And what we kind of batting it back and forth, what we ultimately kind of concluded is, yeah, if you live remote and you can get away from glyphosate and the smog and the pollution and the stress, yeah, maybe you don't need biohacking for longevity. You just need to do smart things. But if you're in the middle of the smog and the stress and the glyphosate and everything else, you need biohacking really to be able to pursue longevity. I'm excited. I come to this from a very different angle than I think most people. My hand was kind of forced, and I couldn't be more excited that I'm here now and, you know, kind of researching and diving into the white papers and meeting people like you. And then turning around and sharing whatever I learned with as many people as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I agree with that. I think if we could all just live on our own farms and grow organic produce and not be around technology 24/7 and like have this very all natural lifestyle, holistic lifestyle, then maybe we wouldn't need biohacking. But, you know, in today's world, it's just not something that a lot of people have access to or can afford or things like that. So there's a time and place for it. And it's really interesting when you take that perspective and think about longevity as well. And, you know, if you look at it, like if you are somebody who lives downtown and has a city life, but you biohack your health versus someone who lives like rural and has more of like a natural lifestyle, longevity wise, I wonder, you know, who's going to be healthier longer if you were to just compare those people apples to apples, which is obviously not the easiest thing to do. But yeah, stuff like that always makes me question our lifestyle decisions.
It's a great thought experiment, right? Like, you know, is it living remote and not biohacking? How well could that do against, you know, living in the middle of a urban area and actually biohacking? I for one, am kind of glad that you have the choice, because I don't. My parents have green thumbs. I do not. So I very well could starve to death if I was responsible for growing my own food.
Nice. Yeah, it really takes a lot of patience and effort. And I don't know if we all have that. But how, in general, how was your summit? I'd love for you to tell us about it. And yeah, maybe just walk us through some of the highlights, because it sounds epic.
So if, say, 6-7 months ago, you had said, hey, Chris, you're going to do a summit. And I would have said, yeah, you know, summit's probably a good idea. It's smart because it throws me into research mode, which I love. And then it immediately turns around and throws me into teaching mode, which is I also love, because I really think when you teach is when you have cemented that information in your own mind. And if you had said, hey, you're going to do this summit, you're going to interview 55 experts, three of those experts are going to be kind of the leaders in biohacking and longevity space. So we've got Dave Asprey. He created the phrase biohacking. He created Bulletproof Coffee. So some people may not know of him, but as soon as you say Bulletproof Coffee, you're like, oh yeah, I have heard of that. And then you throw in Ben Greenfield, you know, lesser known outside of longevity and biohacking spaces, but very well known in those spaces. And, you know, he's written some 14 books. He's just a knowledge encyclopedia. It's pretty phenomenal. And then add Dr. Gundry, a four-time New York Times bestselling author, a cardiothoracic surgeon. Like, if you had told me you're going to interview 55 people and those three people, I would have just said, you know, Brittany, like, I like your plan, but I like to set myself up for success, not for failure. I don't know how I'm going to do that, right? I have cursory relationships with kind of the top end guys. I didn't know 55 experts. And actually, I already gave a shout out to Natalie Needham. She helped me. She probably put me in contact with, I don't know, 8 to 12 of the experts that I ended up interviewing. And here I am on the other side, having interviewed 55 experts, those big wigs and others, you know, Dr. Tom O'Brien, the father of autoimmune fix, Sergey Young. He wrote the book, The Science and Technology of Growing Young, which is actually referenced in Tony Robbins and Peter Diamantis' book, Life Force. So they reference his book and him. He's a longevity investor. I thought that was an interesting twist. You know, we're very familiar with the phrase, put your money where your mouth is. Well, this is a guy who's investing in longevity and is taking at least the 50,000 foot view, if not the 100,000 foot view. I wanted to include him to give his perspectives. And it's been amazing. And I did some really, I would love to say they were brilliant. They turned out to be brilliant. I didn't know how good they were going to be going in, but asking each of the experts, you know, how long do you think humans can live? How long do you intend to live? What are 2 to 3, you know, shortcuts, mindsets that you would give, let's call it like shortcuts. Everybody likes shortcuts, right? That you would give for longevity or a longer health span. And so I'm able to kind of aggregate this data and have some interesting insights from these 55 experts.
Yeah, I love that. I'm very familiar with Ben Greenfield, Dave Asprey, and Dr. Gundry. I've met Asprey, Dave, last year, and he was great at the Biohacking Summit. I haven't met Ben or Dr. Gundry yet, but I'm sure I will next year at these different conferences and things like that. But I'd love to know, was there any standout moments with them or advice that you heard from these three experts that really stood out to you, or maybe stood out to your audience that was like, whoa, this is a really valuable piece of information. I didn't know this, or I never thought about this in this way before.
Yeah. Okay. So I think there's a couple. One of them that I think is fascinating, right? So you and I, biohacking, longevity space. Let me just ask real quick to kind of preface this next little piece. How long do you intend on living?
I haven't really thought about it. I honestly, I'd like to live to like 100, but my thing when people ask me this is like, I care more that my health span is very long than the actual age that I live to. So if I can live to 100 and be healthy until 95, I'm going to be very happy versus living to 120 and being healthy until, you know, 100. Like I just want more healthy years, just what I care more about. Yeah.
And how long do you think humans can live? And I know I'm putting you on the spot here, so there is no right or wrong answer, obviously. Well, there probably is a real answer, but we don't know it.
Yeah, I don't know. I, you know, from what I've seen and things I've read, I would guess between 110 and 120 is like the oldest I've ever seen, but I don't know the science that could say, hey, we could actually extend life to 200 like that. I don't know that.
So your example is absolutely perfect. You're a person who's focused on health. You're a person who wants that health to be as long as possible. You know, we'll talk about kind of the molecule that got me into this whole longevity industry, but we talk about the research behind that molecule, and it's a full 90% extension of life. When I share that, a lot of people are like, well, why would I want to live longer? And at first, this surprised me because I don't know where I got the number. I can't even tell you what age I decided it, but 125 has always been on my radar. And so when I started to understand that these people weren't hearing, just, I think, just like you, not how long can you live? Are you interested in living longer in an infirmed or debilitated state? Right. And I think just like you shared, a lot of people are like, no, I'm not. Like, I'd like to have my affairs in order. I'd like to, you know, make sure that I'm not a burden on those loved ones around me. But I'm not that interested in living long and infirmed. You start looking at the research, the book Lifespan by Dr. David Sinclair, absolutely amazing book. He talks about this prospect of us living forever. And we really are in a quantum shift where the medical community is changing their mindset about longevity, about how long we can live and how we're going to accomplish that. So I threw together 55 experts in longevity, and I asked those same two questions. These are people who ostensibly are thinking about a health span, and only three people gave the same answer, meaning only three people said, hey, I believe humans can live to 120. That was one of the very common numbers. And I want to live to 120, which just goes to show you, even longevity experts who are thinking about how they can, you know, very concretely extend their health span, still believe that living older means living infirmed and living in a debilitated state, right? So I think that's a reflection of where we sit, certainly where the less longevity focused people sit. And I think that's going to change, right? Because if I ask the question, Brittany, if you have the same mental capacity that you have today, and you have the same physical capacity that you have today, would you then be interested in living as long as humans can? Let's just call it 120.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a different way to think about it. I mean, why not? Like, why wouldn't I want to, I guess?
Well, so just to be fair, I do pose that question. And most of the time it does shift people. Sometime people are still not interested in living longer, you know, and I've heard things like the way our society is going. And so I get that, right? Like there's some pessimism associated with that. And then there's just some people I really think you need to reevaluate their life. I'm working on another book, which is about reinventing yourself, because if you're going to live a lot longer, that's going to change what you're going to do with finances. It might say, okay, now I've got to work this job a lot longer. If I'm not happy in this job, then I probably should be changing jobs. If I'm not happy in my relationship, I should probably be reinventing that relationship. And I think there are a small amount of people who, even with the same mental capacity and the same physical capacity, aren't interested. And I think there's opportunities for them. I just find so much joy in what I do every day in life. And I know that might put me as an outlier. I just want to pull everybody up to that place. And so that's one of the things that really did surprise me about the summit, is that even these longevity experts still are unable to separate old age from being infirmed. And I think you'll appreciate this. The example or the metaphor for life and then dying that really resonated with me, and I think a lot of people, is that of a candle, right? The candle burns brightly and basically the same size all the way until that like 0.01% where it snuffs out. And I think that's how most people would like to go. A data point I read was a 20%, like 20% of your life is in significant decline. And I think that's what people are not interested in. One of the speakers shared with me that their uncle was having a conversation. Their uncle liked to drink and smoke cigars. And the doctor was like, you're going to lose, you know, your life is going to be 15 years shorter if you keep doing this. And the uncle was like, well, is it the last 15 years? Because I don't think I want those.
Do you know if you're getting enough magnesium? Because 4 out of 5 Americans aren't. And that's a big problem, because magnesium is involved in more than 300 biochemical reactions in your body. Today, I want to talk to you about the most common signs to look for that could indicate you're magnesium deficient. Listen carefully to the end, because there's a special offer happening and this could be exactly what you need. Okay, here we go. Are you irritable or anxious? Do you struggle with insomnia? Do you experience muscle cramps or twitches? Do you have high blood pressure? Are you sometimes constipated? There are dozens of symptoms of magnesium deficiency, so these are just a few of the most common ones. Now, here's what most people don't know. Taking just any magnesium supplement won't solve your problem, because most supplements use the cheapest kinds that your body can't use or absorb. That's why I exclusively recommend Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the only full-spectrum magnesium supplement with 7 unique forms of magnesium that your body can actually use and absorb. All Bioptimizer supplements are best in class, which is why I use them. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund, no questions asked. They are so confident that they offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. Just go to bioptimizers.com/biohackingbrittany. In addition to the discount you get by using my promo code biohackingbrittany, you get gifts with your purchase. That's right. You actually get gifts. Up to 2 travel-sized bottles of Magnesium Breakthrough. So act fast. This is a limited time offer. You can go to bioptimizers.com/biohackingbrittany. Use my code. It's linked in my show notes on my website and start taking your magnesium today. That's funny. Yeah, it's such an interesting way to look at it. I like, especially if I look at the people around me who are much older than I am and watching their health degrade and then switching the framework and being like, okay, what if I did live to 100 and I, or 120, and I did have the same capacity and abilities that I have today? Then I'm like, okay, so then when does that decline happen? Because like, isn't aging and then everything slowly kind of turning off how you end up dying? Obviously there's different ways to pass and like, there's a, like, you know, tragic things that happen, but like, yeah, there's just like the age related decline. But then if you say, oh, the age related decline is actually not going to be as long as normal. So what are we looking at? Like, are we looking at like 5 years? Are we looking at a couple of years? Like, and that just like boggles my mind because that really just changes the way I would view my entire life. Really, if I was going to live to 100 and someone said your age-related decline is going to start at 98, I'd be like, well, okay, I have a lot of years left. What am I going to do with my life?
Well, I suspect you're going to do a lot of what you're doing right now, because like, you can just see like, it's palpable joy helping people and diving and learning information and then going out and sharing it like on this podcast. But yeah, I mean, maybe there are other things that you even write off and you say, yeah, you know, that is a classic, you know, I'm this age, so I don't want to pursue whatever. Maybe it's a medical degree. Maybe it's whatever it is. But if you start changing and going, you know what, I'm 54. If my target's 125, I got a lot of years to go and I could accomplish whatever I want in those years. And so, you know, there needs to be some time that's spent on reflection and figuring out exactly what it is that I want to accomplish with the years that remain. Now, to throw an even bigger twist into it, in lifespan, Dr. David Sinclair makes, I believe, a phenomenal case that we'll get to the point that we're going to cross this terminal velocity of aging where it's kind of defined as every day we live, the medical community extends life by more than one day, even if it's one day and 1 minute. And that means at some point there will be a person who is the last person to die of natural causes, right? If you fall out of an airplane, you know, get hit by a bus, there's not much we can do there. But if you're not dying of natural causes, that last it'll suck to be that person who is the last person to die of natural. Well, in reality, they're not going to know, right? But you want working and doing these biohacking things if you're in urban areas, or probably even biohacking things if you're in rural areas, so that you can make sure you're on the right side of that finish line. And his really good argument is, if you take any cell in your body, from that cell, we can make a baby Brittany. It's all there. We can clone it. The technology is available. So the information is available in every cell in your body. Dr. David Sinclair talks about, we've just got to figure out how to pull levers, and he's doing some amazing work in his lab at Harvard. We got to figure out how to pull these levers so we can dial in your age. And is it as simple as a pill? Is it as simple as some sort of injection? Like, there are things that we can do to make it. And then if you're like, yeah, okay, great, I've got all of the information necessary for a younger me in every cell, but man, that's an extreme process of getting to those levers and then pulling those levers. Think about this. In 1950, medical information doubled every 50 years, 50 years. Today, medical information doubles every 73 days. So we're going to have 16 times more information at the end of this year, medical information, than we did at the beginning of the year. And that doesn't even count AI, right? Because this 73 days is a fairly new number. AI is a fairly new kind of technology on the scene. I'm sure it's having some impact already. But, you know, I used AI to calculate in 10 years, if we're on the same exponential growth, because it is exponential, in 10 years, medical information will be doubling every 15 minutes. So if you think it's possible, it's going to happen a lot faster than you realize.
That's incredible. That's just incredible to understand that. And yeah, exactly like you said, like where are we going to be in 10 years from now or 20 years from now with AI and like how we conduct research and how quickly we can do studies and learn, I think is so fascinating. I really view this framework as something that's very disruptive to society because I have, for example, my mom is coming up to retirement soon and she's, you know, really excited about it. Retirement age is like 65. She's a couple years away from that. And, you know, she's excited to not be working and things like that. But if you say to her like, hey, you could feel the same as you did when you were younger, or maybe right now, but probably younger, physically, mentally, and you're going to actually have another 30, 40 years left at that, like, at that feel, at that way of living, and she retires at 65, like, I just almost feel like society is not really set up for us to feel that good when we're in that third of our life. Like, I just, the people I know who are retired or the people who I know in that age bracket and onwards, they're not really like going to pursue a PhD. They travel, but it's like leisurely travel. They're not starting a new business, like these new things. So what you're doing is very disruptive to like kind of how we see the world in North America.
Thank you. That's my goal is to kind of disrupt the mindset and really share what I think is happening, this quantum shift in the medical community's thought processes about aging, and share that with more and more people, because you should be making changes and you should be planning differently. And it's an amazing time to be alive and to be thinking about staying alive.
Yeah, exactly. And it's honestly disruptive, but it's also inspiring. Because I definitely have a group of listeners who are in that, a group of women listeners who are like postmenopausal in that age. And to be able to say like, you have so much time ahead of you, you can do these biohacks and these healthy decisions and you have all of this potential, right? I just love that narrative because it's inspiring, it's positive, and it's opposite of what we typically hear in society where there's so much decline. And arguably, I wonder if health decline actually increases once people get into that mindset of, hey, I'm retired, I'm a senior now, I can't do X, Y, and Z, versus before that when society didn't necessarily treat them that way.
Yeah, well, we're guilty of facilitating that, right? Like, so one description is aging is the aggressive pursuit of comfort. You know, we're like, oh, you know, my mom is in her 70s now, so I'm going to go to the kitchen and get her tea. Well, no, she should go and get her own tea, not because, you know, I'm a mean son, but because it's actually good for her health. You know, people will often get rid of a two-story house and like, no, you should be walking up the stairs. I'm doing a presentation later today on the blue zones, right? The five areas around the world where people tend to live longer and have less chronic diseases. And one of the factors, which is kind of obvious as you hear it, is the steepness of the village is correlated with the longevity of the people in the village, right? So the fact that when they want to go to the store or to church or to their friend's house, that they're walking up or down a steep hill, that is great exercise. And that is actually keeping them younger and living longer. And so you really don't want to baby your parents. All right. Obviously, if there's something that has happened and you have to, yeah. But you want to try and push them. I had a great conversation with Lisa Tamati. She's an amazing individual. And we could talk more about her. She's helping her mom rehabilitate. And you can see her. She's pushing her mom to rehabilitate. She just broke a hip. And so that's really what we should be doing, right? And that kind of sentiment also came out of Blue Zones, where you don't stick your parents into a nursing home or just an adult living facility. You actually keep them close. And so then they're more engaged and they're more active.
Are you confused on how to balance your hormones and understand your cycle? Maybe regulate it, reduce the symptoms that you're dealing with, like PMS, cramping, pain, headaches, insomnia, things like that. I created an ebb and flow menstrual cycle guide that talks all about this, and it is now on sale for the first time in a very, very long time. You can get 34% off with my spring special that I am doing, and I think this is the highest percentage I've actually ever given off on the guide. Typically, it's $29, and now it is $19. And I really suggest you grab this before the end of March while you can, before the price goes back to normal. So this guide has over 30 different recipes that you can pull from that are all about how to optimize your hormones and sync your cycle. But it also has things like seed cycling in it and learning about the different nutrition and food for every phase of your cycle. There is a workout plan that shows you which workouts are best during which phase. There are lifestyle practices and biohacks, supplements, herbs, and botanicals, and even mental and emotional health recommendations made for each phase of the menstrual cycle. The recipes have calories, carbs, fat, protein, vitamins, and minerals all broken down for you so you can see exactly what you're eating and how it's going to impact your health. Again, I really suggest you grab this while you can during my spring special. It's linked on my website and in my show notes. You can save 34% and get that guide right now. I think this is foundational for every single woman to understand her menstrual cycle and her hormones, especially before fertility or anything like that even comes up, or maybe you're post that phase of life and now you're trying to regulate again. This is also a perfect guide for that. So that is my ebb and flow cycle guide, and I will link it in the show notes and on my website for you. Yeah, I love that. And I have seen that so much. I've heard that dialogue so much, that narrative of people downsizing to a one-story place for exactly what you said. There's less stairs. People, when they get older, they buy beds that are higher up so they don't have to like sit further down. And when I got a new bed last year, it's like a green bed store and it's like all about, you know, the sustainable and biohacking, all these things. He said to me, he's like, you actually want a lower bed because you actually want to engage your core every time you sit up and down and you don't want to lose that function. And he says so many people want these higher up beds, but it's something as simple as that is actually going to make a difference over the period of your life of every time you get on and off that bed. And so it's just interesting how, yeah, it's like you said, how quickly we love the comfort and how that leads to so much decline. And it's honestly very hard to talk about this or inspire people about this who don't necessarily understand longevity or biohacking, because it's just so opposite of what we hear in society. And so for those listening who say maybe have a parent that they're concerned about in this space, like, do you have any advice of like how they could kind of navigate these conversations? Because it's definitely not easy.
Yeah, I think one thing to do is to get them in front of podcasts, get them some of this information. And you know, I have at various times inspired my mom to be more social, because the data on social interactions is pretty high, correlated with living longer. More social interactions, you live longer. And so by stressing those things to them and really pushing them, like in the case of, you know, hey, keep the stairs in the house, like push them in those right directions, I think that can help. And we all know, like, you know, how much of our parents are going to listen to us, right? When kids are older, how much are we going to listen to them? So you got to find that outside source that does resonate with them. And look for those inspiring stories, right? You know, on my Instagram feed, I think it was today, maybe it was yesterday, a guy who's, I think he was 77 doing his first muscle up, right? And that's where you do a full pull up and then actually push so that you're doing a tri extension on rings. And I think that's that's inspiring, right? You, if you get enough of those examples, then you're like, hey, other people are doing it. I can do it.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. The idea of like inspiring through other people is really powerful. And I also think being an example is really, really powerful. So your actions speak louder than your words a lot of the time. And when people see you doing something healthy, it eventually rubs off on them. Sometimes it just takes a long time, but it really does work. And I've seen this with my family. They, you know, in the beginning, it might be like, oh, like, what is that? Why are you doing that? And then you stick to it. And then a couple of years later, even it's like, oh, I actually was thinking about trying that. Like, what does that do?
Yeah.
And you're like, great. I'm so ready for this conversation. I've been waiting for this day. Like, let's talk about it. So it's, you just have to kind of be patient for the people who aren't super into it in the beginning. But yeah, I think it's fascinating. And I love what you said. I just want to inspire people that it is possible to help your family be healthier. It's not just like said and done. There is options for change and opportunity for change. I want to switch gears a bit and talk about your book. So your book is called Live Longer and Better. Your journey to living longer and better has never been more achievable than today. So why did you want to write this book? Like, what was the motivation behind it?
So I've always felt that if you accumulate information, that you should share it. And again, I have kind of mentioned this earlier. As you're sharing it, one, it's the benefit of sharing for those who are the recipients of the information, but it's also as you're sharing and teaching, you're cementing that information in your own mind. Let me talk about, like, how did I even get in this longevity space? Because that story is really kind of crazy. Back in 1991, when I was still in college, I started manufacturing a molecule. We call the molecule ESS60. That molecule was discovered in 1985 here in Houston. That's where I'm based, at Rice University. And the three scientists who discovered that molecule won the Nobel Prize for that discovery. So we call it a Nobel Prize winning molecule. Turns out molecules don't win Nobel Prizes. The people who discover the molecules win Nobel Prizes, but it is based on kind of Nobel Prize winning chemistry. The molecule, to describe it, it's the first closed cage molecule. And the way to think about it is, if you look at a soccer ball, imagine that that's the molecule where the lines on the soccer ball represent the bonds between the carbon atoms. So you have a spherical molecule of 60 carbon atoms. Again, discovered in 85, they won the Nobel Prize in 96. My business partner and I started manufacturing it in 1991. The molecule's absolutely amazing. So an industrial application. So it makes better inks, better batteries, better tires, better photocells. And for various reasons, kind of the shapes on the exterior of the soccer ball cage, they thought that it would be toxic. So they put it in a toxicity study. By the way, my lab provided the material and were mentioned in the original peer-reviewed published research. So not only have we been manufacturing this molecule longer than anyone on the planet, we are actually the origin of it coming into the supplement field. When they did this quote-unquote toxicity study, they gave rats water, rats olive oil, and then rats olive oil with the ESS60 molecule. Instead of being toxic, the test subjects given olive oil and ESS60, really the MyVitalC formula, lived 90% longer than the control group. That is the single longest longevity experimental result in history. And that is the publication that really changed my business partner and I from being happy-go-lucky carbon nanomaterial scientists. Yes, they exist. And my business partner, Robert, and I, that's us, into the supplement realm. And we kind of resisted for 4 years, actually. We just didn't want to get into the supplement realm. You know, I think it would be fair to say that supplements, the industry has its challenges. We'll just go with that. And it's very different than delivering commercial quantities of carbon nanomaterials to research institutions around the world. So we kind of resisted. Ultimately, the latter part of 2017, a guy with a big YouTube following started talking about all the benefits he was getting, taking it on a daily basis. And then our phone shifted from ringing like 2 to 3 times a week to ringing about 10 times a day. And so, you know, and it's the wacky biohackers. By the way, I can say wacky, right? Like, because I have one now. I love biohackers. So I don't know if you were at Dave Asprey's last event. It was in Orlando, right? It would have been great to connect. So that was the first one I went. We're going to have a booth at the next one up in Dallas. And I've got these little ampules and I'll hand them to a biohacker and they'll literally open it, start taking it. And while they're taking it, go, what is this? Because that's biohackers, right? And so they were like, hey, these test subjects live 90% longer. How quickly can I get this in my body? Great. You know, we were surprised and you know, tried to dissuade them a little bit, mostly because our mindset was this is for industrial applications. The literature was very clear that it was safe. So this guy starts talking about the benefits he's getting, taking it on a daily basis. Our phone starts ringing 10 times a day. And so that's what really kind of pushed us into this market. Now, I'm really trying to get my whatever longevity legs under me. First off, is a 90% extension of life a big deal, right? I've never seen a vitamin advertised in anything close to that or anything advertised close to that. So I dig in. The next best way to live longer is actually in terms of quantity of research is calorie restriction. If you restrict your calories by 30%, you can extend your life by 30%. That's well documented in multiple animal models. So the likelihood is probably in the 99% range that it will work in humans. The challenge is, I call that the starve yourself one third to death diet. And nobody really likes that. Nobody's signing up. Maybe they need some new marketing or something. But yeah, so now we've got the single longest longevity experimental result in history on the market. I start digging in. Our most consistent testimonial is people take it in the morning, they report mental focus and energy during the day, and then better sleep that night. And it's so consistent that I've got to dig in and understand sleep, right? So I read Dr. Matthew Walker's book. He's an amazing researcher, also an amazing speaker. And he talks about, his book is called Why We Sleep. Unfortunately, it doesn't have the same tagline as Dr. David Sinclair's book. His is Lifespan, Why We Age and Why We Don't Have To. Matthew Walker's is Why We Sleep. You just wish that it said why we don't have to, because it does feel like a waste of time. But you're a biohacker and you know it is not a waste of time. It's the most restorative and healing thing you could possibly do. So I read his book and I'm diving into that. And then I'm diving into lifespan to understand, you know, where is the medical community thinking about lifespan, you know, lifespan and longevity and health span. And certainly Dr. David Sinclair is cutting edge. And then I'm, you know, really getting first exposure to like Dave Asprey and Bulletproof Coffee. And then you look at Dr. Gundry. I was actually on his podcast before the pandemic. And so all of these things are coming together and like, okay, I'm accumulating information. I need to share it. Right about the, I don't know, middle of the pandemic, I'm like, hey, I need to write a book. This is just, it matches my ethos. Write the information down, share it with as many people as possible. And just kind of a short story about how I found my co-author. First, I actually reached out to Dr. David Sinclair's co-author. His co-author is Matthew LaPlante. He was busy. I don't even know if he was in my budget, right? I needed help. I ended up on a phone call one day, and maybe this has happened to you. You're like, oh, this is a great, interesting phone call. I liked the person. I just don't know what's going to happen after this. And I kind of Googled him, Dr. Jerome Corsi, and he's a 2-time New York Times number one bestseller. To get to the New York Times bestselling list is a Herculean effort. To get to number one is just exponentially harder. And he'd done it twice. And in my little kind of brain, I was like, oh, we're talking because he's going to write my book. And so we started talking about it and it made sense for what he was working on. And so we started writing the book. And again, in my little brain, he was going to interview me, watch some of the interviews that I've done, and he was going to go write a book and he was going to present it to me and I was going to go, that's a good book, let's publish it. And that's not what happened at all. Our first meeting, he was like, Chris, you need to write down your story. And I was like, I guess I'm writing a book. So I carved out the time and he gave me a really nice compliment. His prose is so much better than mine, but he did compliment me and said that he liked my writing style. And so I'm very proud that the book does have my voice. It's got his prose and his input. But it really is about the journey of that ESS60 molecule, when it was discovered, how amazing that discovery was, going into that scientific study where the rats live 90% longer, my kind of painful or I had concerns about getting into the supplement market. So that journey, and then sharing the information that I'd started accumulating from all the research that I was doing. And that's the kind of the long and short of live longer and better.
I love that. Yeah. So it's really interesting. And I love that you provided so much context for readers. What do you hope that the average person reading it takes away from your book in terms of maybe how they can start implementing some of your advice into their life? Or what do you really want them to take from it?
I think the first and most important thing is to have them to experience the mind shift of living longer and separating living longer from living infirmed. I'll never forget, probably when I was right out of college, I read an article in Men's Health magazine. And the title of the article is, "Your metabolism slows down as you age," right? Which irked me because I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be any part of that. And then I go in and read the article. And literally the article is, well, you slow down, right? You tend to slow down as you age, and that slows down your metabolism. 100% of the research shows that if you start getting more active, your metabolism goes up. So your metabolism, in fact, doesn't go down because you age. It goes down because you move less, right? And this was actually the confirmation that I was really hoping for and excited about. So, and that was, you know, quite a while ago that I read that article. And I think we still don't have the concrete picture that that's true, right? That we actually have a lot more control over our health than we realize. And that control manifests in when you have the right nutrition, when you have the right exercise, when you have the right sleep. So paramount. And ultimately, when you have the right mindset. And I'll just kind of segue here. As I mentioned, I asked all the experts, so all 55 experts, what are some tips that you would share? And then we aggregated all the data. And it was 33% mentioned sleep, 52% mentioned exercise, 52% mentioned diet, and 46% mentioned mindset. And I kind of paused there and I was like, I mean, you, Brittany, you know, I know sleep is so important. You know, they got 33% mentioned sleep and 46% mentioned mindset. And I was like, I think maybe the experts got it wrong. That was my first thought, because sleep is so important for our mental, physical, and emotional well-being, which is, you know, I think one of the reasons we get so many testimonials with our product, because people report better sleep. But it's so important that maybe it should be above mindset. And then through some other conversations, it really dawned on me, if you need to get better sleep and you don't have the mindset, you're not going to get it. If you need exercise more, and I really have considered breaking out exercise from movement, because I think even the word exercise can be daunting for some people. And if it is, forget about exercise, just get moving. But if you don't have the right mindset for exercise, you're not going to do it. If you need to change your diet and you don't have the right mindset for changing that diet, then you're not going to do it. I think mindset is actually the first thing. You've got to have the mindset. And that's really what I'm hoping to kind of drive people for, or for them to get out of this book, that, you know, even if David Sinclair's, you know, pie in the sky of we can live forever just isn't even remotely true, we can be significantly healthier into, you know, I think it was Jean Clement, she lived to 122. So we can get to those types of ages, and we can do it in a healthy way. That mindset we really do need to have.
Yeah. I love that you said that. I totally agree. And quite a few years ago, I had somebody, I think it was on my podcast, I don't remember, but someone was teaching me, you know, or teaching the audience about how important mindset was. And they were explaining how it shapes your life. And they said something along the lines of, like, your thoughts become your words, and then your words become your actions, and your actions become your life. And I've always remembered that, because I've always thinking to myself, wow, like the things that I tell myself, the words that I'm saying in my head, my thoughts and my mindset, my point of view of life actually really, really matters, because it comes out in the discussions I have, the words that I say, and then my actions reflect my words, and then it's your lifestyle. And then suddenly you're this like healthier or not healthier person based off of all the way, if you trace it back to your thoughts and your mindset. And so it is very powerful, but I don't know. it's hard in society, I guess, when people are so busy all the time, there's so many distractions and there's so much technology in our faces all the time, to kind of like have that mindset be, oh, you know, health is one of my top priorities. Let me make better decisions and choices based off of that. You know, you really have to be very conscious about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And mindset can be a tough thing to change. I like to think of, I mean, there's a number of ways to change mindset. I'm very lucky. Dr. Patrick Wannis is a human behavior expert and a great friend of mine and the best therapist I can possibly imagine. And he was a speaker on the Longevity Summit to kind of really address mindset. And so I'm fortunate to have that. If you don't have access to that, and by the way, you can look him up at patrickwannis.com. But if that's not something that you're seeking out, I really suggest kind of two types of affirmations. And affirmations, I think, are a positive way to make changes in your mindset. They're just slow, right? You just got to do affirmations for a very long period of time. But I think there's two types of affirmations. One of them is, hey, you know, I'm healthy and I'm wealthy and I'm happy, you know, those kinds of things said in positive and repeated regularly. But there's another one that I think is important, because you mentioned, you know, what our mind is saying to us is really impactful. And frankly, it's often negative. And you can recognize when you're in this kind of negative feedback loop, but what do you do about it, right? And what I recommend you do about it is you have some simple set of affirmations, like, and if it's just that, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I'm happy, right? And you just keep repeating that, that will negate the negativity, right? And just get you back on track. And so every time you see yourself in some sort of negative feedback loop, just to have this phrase, whether you're saying it 5 times or 10 times or whatever it is until the negative thought goes away, it's really important to nip that negative thought in the bud. And then also, I think, have the affirmations that you would do on a daily basis.
Yeah, I'm super into affirmations lately and visualization. My current mantra right now is, this is challenging, but I'm overcoming it. And I use it in like the weirdest places. Like last week, I was doing a Peloton ride and it was really hard. And I said to myself, this is challenging, but I'm overcoming it. And there's something about reframing. There's something about acknowledging like, hey, this is difficult or hard. But I like the word challenging instead of hard. And then there's something about saying like, I am overcoming it. Like instead of saying I can do it, I don't want to know about what I can and can't do. I want to have, I am doing it. Like I am overcoming it. And it actually made my ride easier. So I'm just trying to apply that to my daily life or whenever I need it. But having a few key phrases that you can pull on actually makes a difference. But you just kind of have to experiment to see what works with you.
Can I offer a little suggestion on what you shared? So just the way you described it, I would almost say, and I am enjoying it. Because it sounds, right, overcoming it also seems like there's a barrier in the way and that you're actually enjoying it, right? Of course, it's coming from a place of pain or, you know, whether it's physical pain or mental anguish or whatever. It sounds like you actually do enjoy it, right? Or you figured out how to enjoy it. And to say like, and I enjoy it is so now the obstacle's gone. The obstacle actually becomes this positive thing that you're not overcoming, you're actually enjoying.
But what if you don't enjoy it?
Well, So maybe what comes through your voice is more joy in the overcoming and it's just the overcoming.
Yeah. No, you're right. Do you have affirmations that you use like personally?
There was a long period in my life where I had, I don't know, it was probably a 1.5 minute one that I would, maybe up to 2 minutes that I would repeat when I was training, whatever I was doing. I've kind of fallen off those. And my go-to for mindset is really to go back to my friend Patrick and do a session with him, because his process is called SRTT, Subconscious Rapid Transformation Technique. It's not, you know, hey, let's sit and talk about whatever your issue is for whatever, you know, for an hour once a week. No, it's dig in for about an hour and a half and resolve that. You kind of describe it as an onion. Let's get rid of that outer layer that is potentially pressing, but maybe more likely just the thing you're willing to deal with. and get that out of the way. The litmus test I have is if there's something that you want to accomplish and it's reasonable, right? So not flying without wings or whatever, and you've been trying long enough with good effort and you haven't accomplished it, then there's something blocking you. And then that's when it's time to seek out somebody to help you get rid of that block.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good advice. I think that's practical and makes a lot of sense. So if people want to connect with you, buy your book or try your ESS 60 supplements from My Vital C, where can they do that? And I know with your summit, it's already passed, but can people still access those interviews or is that like, do we have to wait for the next one?
Well, I think what I'm going to end up doing is putting that together on my own platform. And so, yes, people will have access. So to get access to that longevity summit, it's like 45 plus hours of great content. Just, you know, get to the link that I'm about to give you. I don't know if I gave you your team, but we'll go with this link, myvitalc.com/biohackingbrittany. Specifically for your audience, there'll also be a coupon code that you can find on that site. So go to that particular link if you want the coupon code. That'll get you $15 off if you want to try the product. What I do make recommendations when you go to that landing page, there'll be olive oil, avocado oil, and MCT oil. People are like, which one should I try? We say olive oil for two reasons. The first is we're a research-based organization. And the research in ESS 60 is in olive oil, and it also holds the highest concentration. So that's the second reason that we recommend the olive oil. You get about 0.8 milligrams per milliliter in the olive oil, about 0.6 in the avocado, and about 0.3 in the MCT. Just to share, you're familiar with the Bulletproof coffee. It has MCT in it. I don't do the ghee. I just don't want those calories. But I do put our MCT in it daily and it makes a really, really nice blend. We're hoping actually to have samples at Dave's next event, you know, with his Danger Coffee. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that would be exciting to do. The book is available on Amazon. It's also available on our website. It's like $20. Again, go to that link and then from the menu structure, so the link again, myvitalc.com/biohackingbrittany. If you go to that link, and go to the menu structure, you can find the book. There's something that I'm doing that I'm pretty proud of. You can order a signed copy of the book. It's $10 for my signature and then $15 if you also want Dr. Jerome Corsi's. 100% of that signature fee goes to Operation Underground Railroad. You may remember a movie recently, The Sound of Freedom, which is addressing child sex trafficking. I saw him speak before, like literally, I think the movie was coming out two weeks later. Saw the movie. His speech moved me. The movie is moving for sure. And so 100% of the signature fee is going to Operation Underground Railroad.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's really good that you're giving back like that. I think that's really important. And I will definitely link that you're making and discount code in the show notes and on my website. And I also just want to say, I was just reminded that you do have a product for pets. And I give this to my golden retriever every single day just to support his health and his longevity. So I love that you expanded your line to include them as well.
I love to share. There's one testimonial that I share. She's the largest distributor in Houston. And she originally purchased the formula for her pet. And she's got, I think it's a Shih Tzu, Pekingese or Shih Tzu. Sometimes they get it swapped. I think it's a Shih Tzu. And she noticed such a profound difference in her dog that she decided she wanted to take it. And I love that piece of the testimonial because when you're hearing about a new supplement, remember, I didn't want to get into this industry. And it's because often when you hear a new supplement, you're like, is that placebo or is that actually doing anything? There is no placebo effect in pets, right? Like they don't, oh, I got my little dropper of the olive oil and I feel more energetic today. Therefore, I feel energetic. No, I either feel it or I don't. So she noticed such a profound difference in her dog that she decided to take it. And then to kind of expand this, because it also addresses some people like, how quickly might I feel results? I've got a testimonial, a lady, the first day that she tried the product, she pointed out that she didn't finish her cup of coffee, right? So our, again, consistent testimonial is people take it in the morning, they report mental focus and energy during the day, and then better sleep that night. So that was like same day notice. And then with Gwen, that large distributor who started taking it because of her dog, I interviewed her and she said, you know, at the 3-month mark, if you had asked me if I noticed anything, I probably would have shared no. But then I took stock of my life and I was working later. I was actually waking up earlier. I was never really a morning person. And arguably the worst testimonial about a supplement ever, I cleaned my garage. Now, we don't use that in any marketing material, but that does mean something, right? Whether it's the emotional baggage to address the garage, whether it's just how large the project is, there's something holding you back. And if you're getting better sleep, again, our consistent testimonial, then that helps your mental, physical, and emotional well-being. And so that's why she actually was able to clean her garage and shared that in her mind as a powerful testimonial.
I love that. That's so cool. Good for them. I'm so happy to hear that. That's so important. And yeah, what a cool way to try a new supplement based off of how your dog has reacted to it. I think that's really cool. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. This was great. And I learned a lot. And I know my listeners definitely did as well.
Thank you so much for having me, Brittany.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Biohacking with Brittany. If you're interested in finding the show notes or the sponsors for this episode, you can do so on my website, which is biohackingbrittany.com. Remember to follow me on Instagram, where I'm most active. My handle is @biohackingbrittany. And if you're interested in working together and you want to email me directly, you can do that. My email is info@biohackingbrittany.com. And I look forward to hearing from you and having you tune in next week.